Awesome. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to session 2. How are y'all feeling? Y'all tired? Are you exhausted? I know I am. When the alarm went off at 6 in the morning, I said, oh, here we are. It is a bright and early, beautiful day. So before we get started, to help wake us up a little bit, to help get those juices flowing, why don't we all stand up? Let's get out of our seats. Let's get stretching. Everybody, let me see you all standing. I see y'all sitting. It's kind of bright, but let's get stretched to the right. Yes. Stretch to the left. If you need to go up, if you need to touch your toes, all of the things. And also, okay, I learned this a little while ago, and I don't know if it even works, but like I've been doing it for forever because I think it's like a placebo effect where I'm like, oh my goodness, I need extra energy. Someone told me, do 5 jumping jacks and you'll feel great after. And since then, that's always been my tactic. So we're going to do it together. Oh, people already started. Okay, ready? 5 jumping jacks on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes. Wow. Now I'm awake all of a sudden, ready to start the day. Hope you guys feel energized and ready to focus in. Yes. Okay. I hear the chatters. Everyone's like, man, I'm awake. Let's go. but I hope you guys are ready to lean in and focus in on all that God wants to do in your life, all that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, because we believe that he wants to, and when we heighten our expectations, he'll come and meet us where we're at. And so before we get started, I'm going to pray, and we'll get straight into the word. Lord, I thank you so much, God, for this weekend. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we get to get away from our everyday busy lives, and we get to retreat for a weekend with you and with each other. And we know, Lord, because we've experienced it in the past, God, that in these moments when we come, when our whole expectation, our whole lives are put before you, God, miracles happen. Big things happen in our lives. Transformation, Lord. And so we're believing for that today and for the rest of this weekend, and that you will speak to us as we dive into your word, as we talk about identity and who we are in you, Lord. Take over this service and this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this weekend, we're talking all about identity. And Jacob did such a great job last night setting us up of what identity is, what our true identity is. And I love that he gave us a definition of identity. So we're all like on the same page of what we're talking about. And he said that identity is the fact of being who or what a person is. The fact of being who or what a person is. And I love that we have taken this time this weekend to talk about this subject, because whether you realize it or not, you might be thinking like, man, I don't like wake up every day and think, man, like, who am I? Like, what is my purpose? Like, I don't have like an existential crisis about who I am. But whether we realize it or not, a lot of our behaviors, a lot of our decisions are found based on the foundation of who we think we are, who we want to be, what we believe our purpose in life is. And so identity is so prevalent in every single one of our lives. Whether you're a sixth grader, whether you're a 12th grader, whether you're an adult in this room, our identity is at the core of who we are and what we do. And so talking about this, we're making sure that our core, our identity, our basis of what we do in this life is grounded and rooted in our true identity that the Lord, our Creator, has created us to be. And so Jacob said that our true identity is our true is found in God. True identity is found in God. And we looked at the creation story, which I think is really, really fun. Like, I feel like, you know, growing up in church, you read about like Genesis and you read about creation story. And like a lot of times we're like, oh, great. Like, it just tells us about like how the world was created, how the world was came to be. But we never really like, I've never read Genesis 1 and thought, man, this is a great identity passage. Like, wow, that's crazy. But Jacob said that in this passage, we see that we were made in the image of God. And the purpose that he instilled our lives with, the value and the worth that he's given us is royalty, that we were created to rule alongside him, which is so cool. I'm like, man, I always knew I was royalty, but like now it's like biblically proven and biblically shown, and we can step into that with confidence. But that is what our true identity is that God created the heavens and the earth. He created the animals. He created the ocean. He created the sky and the stars and the galaxy, and yet he still decided that he wanted to make mankind. He wanted to make you, and not only make you or create you, but fill you with value, fill you with purpose, fill you with the purpose that you get to rule alongside him and have authority over his creation, to love his creation, to love other people, and to make an impact in this world. How awesome is that? What a good God we serve. That he would create us with such intentionality and fill us with such a unique and specific true identity. And we ended off there last night. Man, God, okay, great. We looked at God's plan for mankind. We looked at what that looks like for us, what that looks like for creation. Okay, God created us and our true identity. But then we look around. And you start thinking, okay, that's our true identity. Yes, we're made to create and rule alongside God. But then you start thinking about your own life, and you start wondering, is my life in alignment with that true identity? Is that the reality of my life? Am I stepping into the calling and the confidence of ruling aside the Lord, imaging who he is, reflecting his heart? If that was God's created identity, if that was his plan from the beginning, why does that look so opposite of my life? Why does that look so opposite of this world? Like, you can look around the world and you can say, man, y'all are not stepping into your identity. You are not stepping into the purpose of ruling alongside God. You are not stepping into the purpose and the value of loving creation, of loving each other. We see that in our everyday lives. There's brokenness, there's sin, there's pain, there's earthquakes, there's storms, all of these different things. They don't align with this true identity. So where is the mix-up? Where is the gap? What is the problem? The problem is this, is that instead of living from our true identity, we live from a false identity. We often live from a false identity, not our true identity. Our true identity is found in God. But another definition I want to give you is our false identity, which is who we are without God. Our false identity, who we are without God. So how did all of this get twisted? God's masterpiece, his blueprint plan of true identity. How did we go from a true identity to a false identity? How did mankind go from a true identity to a false identity? Well, we're going to jump back into the Genesis passage to answer that question today. How did this all get twisted? And we're going to pick up in Genesis 3, verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, flip there. I hope you have your Bibles, by the way. Genesis 3, verse 1. How did this all get twisted? Verse 1 says this: now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. And so basically there is this place called the Garden of Eden. At the beginning of creation, God created the Garden of Eden where all of the animals resided, where Adam and Eve, the first humans on this earth, resided and lived and loved and had such a great time. Like, what scholars are saying is that this garden was like heaven on earth. It was the perfect world that God created, a perfect God creating a perfect world. That was the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve lived here, and, you know, they could have any fruit from any tree. They're like trees filled with fruit. There's, I'm sure, like waterfalls, and it was just beautiful. Like, think of the prettiest, like, nature you've ever seen, and, like, times it like 1,000, and like that's what the Garden of Eden was. And they got to live here, not really have any responsibility except for like naming the cattle and, you know, like ruling alongside God. But like, you know, there was no pain, there was no sickness, there was no brokenness. And so they had all of this land, all of this beautiful, beautiful life. But the one thing God said was, do not eat from this one tree. There is a single tree out of, you know, the infinite amount of trees that I'm sure there was there, that was there. And he said, do not eat from this one tree. But then there was this snake that came and said, okay, like, did God really say that to you? And was starting to tempt and confuse Adam and Eve. Picking up, it says, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, Adam, who was with her, and he ate it. I want you guys to underline this next verse. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And the eyes of both of them were opened. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And Adam answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And God said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" This passage shows us where it all got twisted. And again, oftentimes when we read this passage, a lot of times when people preach and teach out of this passage, it is showing us how sin entered the world. There is this perfect garden, the Garden of Eden, but then this crafty serpent, the snake, who we often know as the devil, the enemy, he came in and confused Adam and Eve. And when they disobeyed the Lord by eating from the one tree that they weren't allowed to eat from, sin entered the world. Disobedience entered the world. Brokenness entered the world. That is how this whole world got twisted. Because of Adam and Eve's disobedience to God. But then how does this relate to our identity? Like, sin entering the world, brokenness entering the world. How does this relate to our identity being twisted? Again, verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. That was when sin entered into the world. But again, verse 7, the one that I had you underline. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. Because of their disobedience, because of the sin and the temptation, Adam and Eve's eyes were opened to their own brokenness and guilt. This marks a shift. This is where Adam and Eve begin to live from a false identity. The way that they saw the entire world changed. But not only did that change, the way that they saw themselves changed. It says they realized they were naked, which, you know, might be a little weird and you might be confused. But, like, that is just a showing of the vulnerability of their own sin and brokenness was opened to them. Before they ate of the apple, they didn't realize these things. They were walking alongside, living from that authority. But then suddenly, they were vulnerable to their mistake, to the guilt that they felt, and to their own brokenness. This is where they started to live from a false identity without God, against God. This marks a shift. So you might be thinking, okay, Adam and Eve, sin enters the world. This is where we start living from a false identity without God, who we are without God. Adam and Eve realized that they were naked. Their eyes were open. They sewed fig leaves to cover themselves. But how does that relate to me, like 2,000 years later? Our false identity, who we are without God, might look like ascribing our value, our worth, and our purpose to these statements. I am what I do. I am what I've achieved. I'm defined by what other people think of me. I'm defined by who I date. I'm defined by my mistakes. I am defined by what I have. I am defined by my race. I am defined by how much money my family has. I am defined by what school I go to. I am defined by my gender. Because when our eyes are taken off of God, when we begin to live lives without God, away from his plan, away from his purpose of ruling alongside him, our eyes go from looking at him to looking at the brokenness around us. And we begin to relate ourselves to the brokenness in this world, to the sin in this world, to the sickness in this world. And that is confusing. It leads to these statements of saying, I am what I do. I am what I've achieved. This is what the world is telling us every single day. It is infusing into your mind and in your brain through social media, through even your own friends of like, man, I am who I look like. I am who I date. I am what I do. But this was not God's purpose for our lives. He never intended us to take our eyes off of him and start placing our worth, placing our value into other people, into their opinions, into what the world says we should have, into what the world says we should do. And we end up finding ourselves in this cycle of being exhausted, of you feeling like your arms are being like pulled in so many different directions. And like, I get it. I honestly, like even now, even today, even as a 21-year-old, it is something that you struggle and battle with because again, we are in the middle of this broken world and it is so hard. Let's be honest, it is so hard to keep our eyes on Jesus. But I even remember when I was like in middle school, when I was in seventh grade, I had a conversation with my dad one day after school, and I told my dad, I remember, like, this is so distinct, like, being in tears and being like, Dad, please let me wear lip gloss. Like, my friends won't love me if I don't wear lip gloss. And, like, of course, at that moment, I wasn't thinking, oh, my goodness, like, who am I? What is my identity? But that shows that at the core of our being, whether we realize it or not, we feel this pressure to be defined by what we see around us. Like, even at a young age, I noticed and I realized, man, if I don't wear makeup, if I'm not wearing the coolest clothes, then people are not going to accept me. People are not going to love me. I'm not going to be able to sit at the cool table during lunch. And like that is something that we struggle with all throughout middle school, all throughout high school. The pressures of being a part of a certain friend group so people can look at you in a different way. The pressures of getting good grades. Like, man, if you struggle with, feeling like you need to get good grades all the time, I feel you. I literally like have to sing this song whenever I'm like studying. I'm like, my grades are not my identity. I won't let it give me anxiety because we often feel like, man, if I don't get into this certain college, if I don't have this certain GPA, people are going to look down at me. People aren't going to value me. They're not going to value what I say or who I am or what I do. If I am not the best athlete, if I don't win this championship, there is so much pressure that is put on us that is based on this false identity. There is so much pressure for us to place our identity in all of these things, but it is not sustainable. The problem with living without God, the problem of living from a false identity, the problem from defining ourselves by all of these false identity statements is that they all fail us. At the end of the day, no matter how secure we might feel in these temporary things of the world, no matter how secure we might feel in this certain friend group, no matter how secure we might feel by dating this person or being this certain athlete, it will fail you at the end. Because not only is this world broken, but it is temporary. And at the blink of an eye, an injury could come. and the sport goes away. At the blink of an eye, your relationship can fall apart with that certain boy or girl. At the blink of an eye, all of a sudden your friends aren't talking to you and don't like you and you don't even know what you did. At the blink of an eye, you can get a bad grade and there's no going back from it. At the blink of an eye, all of the things that the world calls us to put our identity in can fade away. And if those things fade away, do you fade away? Does your purpose fade away? Does your happiness fade away? Does your confidence fade away? God calls us to have a confidence and a purpose that is lasting. But if we are placing our confidence and our worth and our identity in those things that fall apart, then we too will fall apart. And you might notice, like, man, is my mood different based on all of these things? Does the way that I wake up, is the way that I interact and love people based on who's around me, based on what I'm doing that day, based on how things are going in my life? The hope is this, is that God says that no matter what is happening around you, no matter the circumstance, no matter whether those things fade away, you can have an identity and a purpose in him that will never fade away. That no matter what's going on in your life, you can still love people. You can still love God. You can still glorify him and rule alongside him. But it requires us to walk away from the pressures of false identity, to walk away from the failure that that brings, and to step in to our true identity. Living from a false identity often leads to more sin, more shame, and unfulfilled purpose. It often leads to more sin, more shame, and unfulfilled purpose. Because again, with the pressures of these identity statements, I am what I do, I am what I have, I am defined by how much money my family has, it often leads us to feeling these pressures and to decide to do things in our lives that align with those things. And for you, it may look like changing your appearance or your interests to fit in, beating yourself up over a bad grade, being mean to others because everyone else around you is being mean to others. It may look like partying every weekend to fit in, even though you might not enjoy it and you might say, oh my goodness, another late night, I just want to go to bed. But all of your friends are at this house and at this party having fun, apparently. And there you are, feeling like you have to be there in order for them to accept you. It may look like comparing yourself to your siblings, comparing yourself to your parents, comparing yourself to your friends. And I don't know about you, but all these things, even just talking about it, even just thinking about it, it's heavy. It gives me anxiety. And I know that it leads to more sin, more shame, and unfulfilled purpose. And so that's kind of a downer. Like, you know, like imagine if I was like, okay, y'all, like that's it for the weekend. We're living in our false identity and it fails us. Great, that's good. What's the hope in all of this? Is there hope in all of this? Because of sin, because of the Garden of Eden and the decision that Adam and Eve made, are we just subject to living from our false identity the rest of our lives? Like, is that all it is for us? Did Adam and Eve mess it up for us at the beginning? Like, is there any way for our identity, even if we've been placing it in these things, is there a way for it to be renewed? My answer would be yes. And we'll get into that a little bit more in the next session, but I want to leave you with just a little bit of hope so you don't walk out of here saying, like, man, this life is hard. I don't know what to do. There is hope. I promise you. The hope is this, is that God doesn't want you to base your identity in your accomplishments, your failures, your stuff. He doesn't want you to base your identity in all of those things. We see that in his creation of true identity. And because of that, our false identity can be renewed with Christ. your false identity can be renewed with Christ. Our true identity is who we are with God. Our false identity is who we are without God. And our renewed identity is going back to that, coming back to Christ, coming back to the person of Jesus. What Ashley talked about last night when we sang that one song about our identity is found in the cross, that Jesus, because of who he is, because of our salvation, not only is our salvation hope in the sense that we get to have eternal life, but our salvation gives us this hope that we can have a renewed identity, that we can be washed from our sin. We can be washed from our shame. We can be washed from all of those things that we've put pressure on ourselves to be. We can be washed clean from it. And that God says, you are not your failure. You are not your bad grade. You are not what you did last Saturday. You are not the decision that you made last week. That you are my child. And that because of that, because he is enough, we are enough. And we can be renewed and made whole. And we can walk in that confidence and make decisions based off of our renewed identity. Ephesians 4:22 to 24 states this: you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, to put off your false identity, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God, created to rule alongside him in true righteousness and in true holiness. This passage shows us our false identity, that's the old life. That's the past. But our renewed identity is our new life. What is ahead? The future that is ahead. And let today be a marking point. Let today be a shift. That yes, we will recognize these false identity statements. We will recognize how all of this got twisted. We will recognize where we identify with these false things in our own lives, but we'll only recognize it. We'll recognize it and move on from it. We won't dwell in those things. We won't keep adding to the pressure. We won't keep living by the pressures of all that. But that today we will say goodbye to our old selves. We will say goodbye to these false identity statements. We will say goodbye to who we are without God and step in to who we are with God, because it is a firm foundation. It will never fail you. Jesus will never go away. His love for you is not based on what you do. It's not based on what you even deserve. But it's given to you because he is a good God. Because he's a good God, he doesn't just extend his goodness, but he reaches out and he calls us to step in and display that goodness alongside him. What hope that brings. What a confidence that brings when you get to wake up and not even question. Like, yes, it's important to love others. Yes, it's important to get good grades and to do, good in sports and to, steward those gifts God's given you. But there's not this heaviness attached to it anymore. That you can say, no matter what happens, I'm confident in who I am in Christ. That I'm his child. And that he says, I am enough. And so today, in what ways have you placed your identity in the things of this world? The things that society has told you to place your identity in? But with that, in what ways can you say goodbye to those things? Can you let go of those things? Because, letting go is a huge part of it too. Because let's be real as well, sometimes it feels good to identify ourselves by those false identity statements, to to identify ourselves by the things of this world. There is a temporary comfort that comes with it. But again, I promise you, at the end of the day, it will fail you. But in the moment, you're like, man, wait, I'm kind of enjoying, like, getting good grades. It feels good. I'm kind of enjoying, like, you know, feeling identified by, like, who I'm friends with and being the life at the party, the class clown, and, like, being known for those things. It feels great. But I promise you, it will sneak up on you. It will stab you in the back before you even realize it. And so let us let go of those pressures and those things. And so we're going to go back into worship. And I'm going to read off these false identity statements again. But I want you to reflect on them. And you know, it's so great. We printed out like little sermon note cards for you guys if you didn't bring your journals. But I want you guys to utilize them as well. And when we go through these false identity statements, whichever one you relate to, whichever one you hear that you're like, man, yeah, I struggle with that, I want you to write it down. Because we're going to do the hard work. We're going to confront it. And we're going to let go of it. And so the statements go like this. I am what I do. I am what I've achieved. I am defined by what other people think of me. I am defined by who I date. I am defined by my mistakes. I am defined by what I have. I am defined by my race. I am defined by how much money my family has. I am defined by what school I go to. And I am defined by my gender and what those stereotypes look like. And I want you guys to be vulnerable with yourselves. To encourage you to do that, if I'll be honest, some of the ones that I struggle with are this. I am what I do. I am what I've achieved. I am defined by what I have. I used to struggle a lot by I am defined by what school I go to and the way that that looks of how I act and interact with people. But specifically those first two, I am what I do and I am what I've achieved, are two things that I honestly wrestle with every single day. There's this pressure to be perfect. There's this pressure to be on your A game, to be 110% all of the time. But about a year ago, it came to a point where I was completely burnt out. I was completely lost. I found myself being more anxious than I've ever been, being depressed, saying, man, what is the purpose of all of this? It's shifting, it's exhausting. Nothing looks the same ever. But God met me. When I came to Him on my knees, saying, God, I can't live like this anymore. I can't live from this pressure. It is heavy. God, I need something more. I need something whole. What is that? And God said, it's me. I am that thing. Keep your eyes on me. And I promise you, even if you feel like you've been stuck in it for so, so long, you can be washed clean. And you can live from a new sense of confidence. And that is the authority and the confidence that I pray to walk from, that I pray to lead from day in and day out. That no matter if I get a bad grade on an exam, no matter if I wasn't, you know, on my A game at work one week, I won't let it rip me to shreds. I won't let myself fall apart. I'm caught in my true and renewed identity. And that is what He wants for you. I promise you it is possible. I promise you it is possible to look at those statements that you wrote down and to no longer cling to them. And to walk in the purpose, the worth, and the value God has placed inside every single one of you. I look around at this room and I see so much good. I see so much love. I see so much hope. I see so much kindness, the fruits of the Spirit just dwelling out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I see that in every single one of you. I see you guys being world changers. I see you guys making an impact for the kingdom of God. And so what would it look like if today marked a shift and we began to live from a renewed identity? Not only what would our lives look like, but what would our homes look like? What would our schools look like? What would this world look like? When we can come into the world and show them, hey, there is a better way. There's a better way to identify yourself. There's a better place to find your value and your purpose other than what social media is telling you, other than what the news is telling you, other than what society is telling you. We can let go and walk with Christ and go back to that true identity, go back to that Garden of Eden and perfect holiness, ruling alongside God and imaging his heart. And so I'm going to pray. And I know, again, we have United where we do worship, and worship is a huge part of Epworth here. But I want to challenge you guys to take another step. I want you to get out of your seats. It doesn't mean you have to come up here, but I want you to go to somewhere in this room. There's a prayer area in the back. I want you to get out of your normal, to get out of your comfort, to be able to be vulnerable with Christ and face these statements. And again, it may be uncomfortable, it may be hard, it may be challenging, but I promise you, this is the hard work that goes into renewing our identity, is that we have to first identify how we have lived from a false identity, how we have lived from this until this point. Whether you need to sit down, whether you need to get on your knees like I had to with the Lord and beg him for something more and something whole, whether you need to find your life group leader and talk through these things with them, whether you need to come down to the altar and even lay down that card and let go of it, I want to challenge you to not let this moment go by, but actually ask Jesus to reflect, to open up your eyes to where you are so you can step in to what he has for you. And I know there's other people in here too that don't know Jesus, that don't have that relationship with God. And you might be thinking, man, it's kind of weird to talk to a stranger, like to talk to someone that I don't know. And so if you're at that place as well, I want you to take this time and even just open yourself up. Say, hi, God. I don't know if you're up there. I don't know if you hear my thoughts or my heart, but here I am. And see what he does in your heart. Let us do the hard work. Let us truly reflect. And let that mark a shift for the rest of the weekend and for the rest of our lives. And so Jesus, we come before you this morning. God, even though it's a hard conversation to talk about false identity, to talk about where it all got twisted, to talk about where I've been and where I'm at in defining myself by the world, we thank you that this is a safe space to talk about those things, to reflect on those things. So God, I pray that today we will look inward with you and we'll be honest with ourselves. We'll be honest where we experience unfulfillment, where we experience anxiety to be someone who we know we were never meant to be. And that, yes, we will recognize those things, but as we recognize it, Lord, you will help us let go. And that we don't have to live our lives without you. We don't have to define ourselves. We don't have to find value or purpose or worth without you. But we can go back to that true identity. And God, let this hard work be evident in the way that we feel, in the way that we think, in the way that we act, in the way that we make decisions. Let your love overflow. We spend this time in your safe presence, God. And we lay it all at your feet. We thank you that with you, we are enough. That we are washed clean. We are not what other people may say about us. We are not the reputations we've made of ourselves. We are not defined by the things that we have, the houses that we live in, the clothes that we wear. Help us let go. Refine us today, Jesus. We come before you. In Jesus' name, amen.